It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Swing, high fly ball, belt to right center, and the Braves have won it!
There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron.
A walk-off homer from Freeman, and the Braves win it!
He is! Braves win!
Fair ball, it's a walk-off. Acuna sends us home.
Welcome, everybody, to the first after the end of the season podcast of Behind the Braves, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. We took a little break. We needed a little breather after the end of the 2020 season. It was an exciting ride. Didn't quite get as far as we wanted to. But you know what? It's the off season now, and we are back to good news and building towards a 2021 season that that hopefully will be great for our Atlanta Braves. But Greg, we're kicking off our offseason the right way with the 2020 National League Most Valuable Player, Freddie Freeman. And I can't think of a better way. See, that's why we took a break. We wanted to make sure once we get our offseason started on Behind the Braves, we're going to do it on a high note with a bang. And that's about as big as we could do, I think, with Freddie Freeman. Just had him on as we're recording this. It was just announced about not even hour and a half, about 75 minutes ago. He, along with the rest of us, just learned that he was named the National League's Most Valuable Player this year. I kind of tell you, we touched on this. I asked Freddie about this in our interview with him. And again, a huge thank you to him for joining us, because he literally found out he's the MVP with his family live on national television. Then he did a call with all of the local media, then with local television, and then with us. And then right now, as we're talking, he's on with the Baseball Writers of America. So huge thanks to him and Braves Media Relations for making the time for us. But man, he's just such a, what I was going to say, we touched on this in the interview, just to see the person that he's become and kind of the leader of this team. It's just been so great. And this MVP award is kind of, I feel like us in Atlanta, we've known how great Freddie Freeman is for a long time, but it's nice for us to see that the national stage or the national media are giving him that validation as well.
Yeah, Freddie, obviously, as we talked about, he discussed, I mean, he came in fourth, he came in eighth. I mean, he's been in the top 10, I think, four times. He just put it all together, and there's more to it than, I mean, Freddie doesn't get enough credit for his defense. He didn't get enough credit for his leadership. But man, what a great year he had. I think it's kind of like that. I don't know what the medical term is, that when there's so much pain, you just block it out. Somebody said the other day that we were one game away from the World Series. I just completely forgot about that, because man, we went up 3-1. And I just thought, man, this team has got all those things clicking for themselves. So I'm glad that we kind of took a break where I could kind of forget about that. And what, I mean, we had Gold Glovers, we had a Gold Glove Award, we had Silver Slugger Awards, and now we cap it with an MVP. And I think Snit was right up there for Manager of the Year. I think he was third or fourth, and then he won some other, Freddie won all kinds of awards. So another great offseason for the Braves, from a award standpoint, just really indicates how good this team was and what they did this year. And we still feel like that we left something on the table, but, and there again, expectations were blown away. I don't know if anybody really, 100% picked us to win the division, much less go deep and be one game away from going to the World Series. So this team just keeps delivering. Snit keeps doing an unbelievable job. Of course, you know, Freddie will tell you, and we've discussed this, maybe not on the podcast, but, you know, he was healthy. He was healthy all year. Didn't limp down the stretch like the year before where he had the elbow problems. But, man, he just looked solid outside of having COVID, you know, at the very beginning, I guess if there's a time to have it, that's when you have it. But outside of that, man, he just did not look like, I don't even know if he had a week slump. You know, I don't even know if he had a week long slump or a 2-game slump. But if he did go 0-for-4, he followed it up with a couple hits the next day.
Yeah. And it's an MVP season. You touched on it there that he of course started the year. He managed to make it back to the team in time for opening day and the start of the year, but he did not have his legs under him there for the first couple weeks. Yeah. He kind of revealed today, I think is the first time. I'm not sure if he'd said this previously, that he had lost 8 pounds. He didn't say it at the time, but he said he was 204 when the season started and 212 is his playing weight. And so it took him a little bit of time to get his strength back and his weight back to where it needs to be. But I tell you, just to run through some of his numbers real quick, Greg, an MVP-free season, if you will. Nationally ranks first in runs with 51, first in doubles with 23, first in extra base hits with 37. Second in batting average, 341, second in on-base percentage at 462, second in slugging percentage at 640, second in OPS, second in RBI, second in total bases, third in hits, third in walks. He had a 33-game on-base streak, which was the longest in the majors this season. He had an 18-game hitting streak that was the longest in the National League this season. And get this one, he reached base 3 or more times in 22 games, and that was easily the most in Major League Baseball. He got 28 out of the 30 votes for first place.
Yeah.
So not quite unanimous, but pretty darn close.
Yeah.
Just a great season. I got to tell you, I think we talked about this before the season started. How would we view a 60-game season? And, you know, you start talking about asterisks and legitimacy and all that. And I got to tell you, Snit said it, and I completely believe it, that he was more worn out at the end of 60 games than he has been for any 162-game season before, just because of all of the stuff and all of the protocols and all the things that he and his players had to go through this year. And I tell you, as we've been looking at these awards and stuff in culmination with the MVP tonight, I haven't felt anything that's felt illegitimate or anything about any of this. Every bit of this, congrats to the Dodgers. They earned that World Series. I think they ultimately were the best team this year. And I think we had the best player in the National League, and I would argue Major League Baseball this year, in Freddie Freeman. So, it's kind of – What you already said, I kind of needed a breather from the season, because I think, like you, I was just like, darn it, we were so close. But now as I'm sitting here tonight, I still want that ring, and you're going to hear Freddie talk about that. But I'm just so happy for Freddie, and man, I'm just so proud of the season he's had, and that he's the cornerstone of our team. And I'm just all those vibes from the end of the season are gone. I'm just purely happy tonight.
Well, I think Freddie has finally got his due, because we've known how great he's been. He has won, you know, Silver Slugger, he's won Gold Glove, he's won some award. But when you cap off an MVP, I mean, you really are legitimate from the standpoint of the upper echelon of all players. Yes, you can't say that you're underrated anymore, because it's extremely difficult to win an MVP award, especially when you're battling teams like the Dodgers and all the great players that are just in this league, and everybody's perspective on really what an MVP means, because typically you don't win an MVP on the last place team, you know, or a third place team. You've got to be a team that's competing. So, some of that's outside of, Freddie's control. He can only do what he can do, but he's on a great team. He's got a great manager. And he clearly elevates his team to the next level. So I'm real excited too, as well, for Freddie to finally get some national recognition, to be put in the place where we know he's been, he should have been all along. So, and as I told him, I think back about TP, and I think about, you know, Chipper and Dale. You just see Freddie just is in that same mold. I mean, the same player, that they have their own way of leading, and then they just bring it to the table every single day, and they're consistent. And so, to me, that's the biggest compliment you could ever give somebody is that they just don't take a day off and they compete day in and day out, and they compete at a high level. And that is extremely difficult because of injury. And now you add COVID, and now you add, I know I sat down with Fred Stone the other day to talk about fantasy camp, and he brought in this big old booklet about all the protocols that they had to follow throughout the year. And that just emotionally is draining in and of itself. You know, forget there's physical, you know, being tired physically, but then when you're tired emotionally and mentally, and those things that you've got to do just to be able to get to the field to compete. So, yeah, I'm with you. There's no such thing as an asterisk in this season. I don't care if it was 20 games. The things, the hoops that these guys had jumped through just to be able to perform and to give us the entertainment that everybody in America needed was nothing short of just miraculous.
Absolutely. And I think Freddie was talking about this before he hopped on with us. He was talking about this. I was listening in on the local media call with Freddie, and he was mentioning how, you know, other guys, I think he said he went out to dinner with Ryan Howard a couple weeks ago, and Ryan told him, you know, when he's from now on, when you sign autographs and you put that little MVP by your name, that changes things, and in a good way, obviously. And I was thinking about that. You know, in addition to working baseball, I'm a baseball fan. And before I started working in, I was pretty heavy with like into collecting stuff, Brave stuff, because lifelong Braves fan. And there is something about looking at a Dale Murphy autographed ball back here that's got that 82-83 MVP on it. Or I've got a bat that Chipper signed that's got 99 NL MVP. I mean, there's just something, or TP or Hank or whoever. I mean, there's something special about that, you know, something really special about that. And that Freddie now gets to spend, you know, the rest of his days in his career and post career signing that little MVP is it's really, really cool. And rightfully, it just feels right, you know.
Right.
And so,
well, think about it. There's some very elite clubs, MVPs, Hall of Famers, and world champions. There's not many of those guys. And so when we're all play the game at such a high level, and then you're in an elite club inside of that, it does change things. And so I'm happy for Freddie because he deserves it. And I don't think he's going to slow down a bit. So I know that Kelly Kroll asked a question. It was one of the things I was thinking about is, where do you think this takes you from here? And I just think he's driven by something different. That allows him to compete. So I don't see anything but more of the same from him.
Agreed. And well, listen, before we get to Freddie, I would encourage you to go check out Braves on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. The former MVPs, living MVPs of the Braves, all recorded messages for Freddie. And they aren't just hey, Freddie, this is Hank Aaron. Congratulations. They're all pretty, very heartfelt and really, really cool. So Hank, Chipper, Murph, and TP all recorded messages, and we put them all together in a about 2.5-3 minute long video that you can check out. So if you haven't seen that, I highly encourage you to go check that out. It's very cool. And we got some other stuff out there too on Brave social media channels, just with some of those stats I was reading you and all that good stuff. And so, yeah, just be sure to go check that out if you haven't already. But anyways, listen, I think Greg and I have rambled on long enough here at the beginning. Let's get you right to him. The MVP, Freddie Freeman.
Freddie shoots one deep toward left center field. That ball is headed to the track, to the wall, and it's gone! Freddie Freeman walks us off! Just start etching the trophy now. MVP, Freddie Freeman in 11.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, buddy. Hey, congratulations, man. Thank awesome, you. Awesome job. I know if I was there, I'd give you a big hug. I know.
I know. Well, we will soon. I hope so. You know, hopefully we get this thing under control and we can give hugs again in 4 months.
You got to be hating that. They're cutting down on your hug rate.
I know. It's okay. That just means a lot are built up and we'll be able to do it soon.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us on Behind the Braves. Yeah. And I got a couple questions. I know Ricky does too. And okay. I've been fortunate to play with some guys who've been in your shoes, Chipper and TP, and I know Dale real well as well. And, you know, those guys, you know as well as I do. I mean, there's talent is one thing and having a great year is another one, but there's just this special sauce. There's a secret sauce that you guys have that win an MVP. And I'm amazed, you know, to watch you day in and day out and look and being able to compare you to some of the guys that I was around Where do you think that comes from? What do you think separates you? And I know you don't like talking about yourself, but what do you think that special sauce is that you bring to the table every day?
For me personally, I don't know what their special sauce is, but for me, it's being able to stick to my approach each and every pitch. To be on the shortstop, never coming off. That's the hardest thing, is when you pull a home run, sometimes you want to get into home run mode. But for me, that's not going to happen. It gets me all out of whack if I'm trying to pull the ball. So for me to stay on the left center field gap, shortstop area, keeps me in transition through the ball and staying with my base swing. So for me, being able to stay with my approach every pitch has really pretty much turned my game around.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you know, that's the technical, you know, part of your game, but there's also that there's that consistency in your life too. And I think that really comes to light with everything that's going on with you and, you know, cause there's so many things that happen. I mean, look what you battled with COVID and just like you talk about your grandmother and you got your mom. So that just, there's some grit there that comes with you that goes way beyond your technical hitting. You know, that's more stuff that we see of what makes you such an MVP.
Yeah, I've been through a lot. Unfortunately, I've been through a lot. You know, it's you never want to lose your mother at 10 years old. And I was fortunate to have my grandmother for 30 years. A lot of people don't get to have that. My dad had his mom for 65 years. So try and take a step back, but it's still never enough. You know, it's never enough time. But, you know, it helped shape me. That's why I try and stay the same, get too high, get too low. I've been through a lot to help me be able to stay on the same plane throughout the course of a year. So unfortunately, I've gone through a lot that shaped me to be who I am today. But I'm grateful because I know they're up there watching over me and helping me get through each and every single year.
Hey, Frey, congratulations, first of all.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time. And that's what you were just talking about there. I think it's a great kind of transition to what I wanted to ask you about. You first come up to the big leagues 2010 as a 20-year-old rookie. And I think it's fair to say it was still Chipper Jones' team.
It still is. It really is.
Well, in the decade since, myself and others who either work for the team or cover the team, I think we've all been so impressed to watch you evolve from 20-year-old rookie to becoming the face of the franchise and the leader of the team. I mean, it's hard enough to make it to the big leagues. It's even harder to stay. Yeah. To then take on that task of being both the leader in the clubhouse and the one in the public eye. I mean, that's a monumental undertaking. So obviously when things are good and the team's rolling, we want to hear from you, but also maybe when things aren't good or there are issues bigger than baseball going on that still affect our team, we all kind of as an organization look to you to be the one to speak and to lead. And so anyways, those of us on the outside who have watched you grow into that role, it's made us all proud. And it seems like you're really comfortable with it, but I just wanted to know from your side, what was that evolution like? When did you first kind of start thinking, okay, I need to take on this role? And how long did it start to take to feel comfortable? And this is the last of like a 5-part question. Does that relationship, your friendship with Chipper, how did that factor in into that as well?
I got lucky and blessed enough to be able to get called up in 2010 with the likes of Chipper, B-Mac, Billy Wagner, Tim Hudson. So I had some amazing veteran guys on the team to help me get through the first couple of years. And being able to be with my best friend, Jason, too, who was up before me. And we came up through the minor leagues together. He's an old soul. He's mentally above everybody else in the baseball world, to me at least. And he helped guide me and get me through as well. So it took a while. You know, I don't think any kid that gets called up in their 20s thinks they're going to be, becoming the face of a team or anything like that. But I started to learn the business side of baseball in 2014 after that season when a lot of my friends started getting traded. And that was hard. That's when I started to learn about more than just the baseball side of things. And there is a business to it. So I was the only one left at that time. So it took me a year or two to grow into it. You're not going to see me, yelling in the dugout, doing rah-rah. That's not me. How I lead is playing every single day and being the consistent guy that everyone can count on. And if you can stay the same throughout the course of the year, you're going to have guys that like to get excited and guys get too low. And if they see me staying the same, I think it helps it bring it back to that middle point where we can just keep going through the season, because we're going to fail. We're going to go through a 5-game skid. We're going to go through a 6-game skid. That's just baseball. And when we get through that 10-game winning streak, you got to be the same, because you don't want to get too high, because baseball, it can knock you down real fast. This is why it's a beautiful game. So it took me a few years after all my friends got traded, but with the help of Chipper, he's been in my corner since day one. So to have him next to me and helping me guide me to where I am now, that's why I'm here.
Freddie, it's awesome to watch someone kind of mature. Obviously, Ricky and I've watched it, you know, kind of evolution as he's talking about of your career. And you see these guys, you know, the young guys, they tend to get real excited, you know, and I love and appreciate how you're right. You've got to have somebody that's just the calming factor. And obviously with your play defensively, offensively, and your personality, you know, we can definitely see that. I'm curious, what's going to continue to motivate you from here on out? I mean, once you bag an MVP award, and you guys, obviously we want to win a World Series again, but what is it that day in and day out motivates you to compete at such a high level? It's got to be more than just I'm looking for awards and trophies.
Well, I have this ring, and I'm really, really proud of this ring, because the one sitting next to me got me this ring, but there is another ring that I want, and that's what motivates me. We were so close this year to being in that World Series, and to see where this organization has come from 5 years ago to where we are now, that's what excites me. The young guys and that walk into this clubhouse each and every day are just so incredible, and they've been brought up so well. Our farm system is great. They haven't prepared ready from day one to help to win big league ball games. And that's exciting to me. And I want that ring. That's what's going to excite me. And if I do get the pleasure of winning a ring, I want another one. And that's what it's all about. So I want that World Series, and we were close this year, and now we got a full clubhouse of hungry guys ready to go for 2021.
Okay, so Freddie, I work with marketing and the social media team, and all of us can't ever get enough of Chelsea Share's videos and pictures of Charlie and his swing, which, by the way, at age 4, he has a better swing than I ever had.
Greg Pitchford. He has a better one than me, too.
I just generally, I mean, and we're talking about, especially since we focus so much on kind of you, the evolution, not only as a player into an MVP player, but as a person. I mean, how, and you've got two more on the way, how has being a dad just impacted your life and your perspective on it?
That's what it's all about. You know, I used to take 0-for-4s hard. They're not as hard anymore. They're still hard, but not as hard. You know, when you got a little guy over here that just is so much fun to be around, he loves baseball just as much as I do. That's what it's all about. That's why, you know, I'm going to miss a lot during the course of the season. But if I do get a chance to not miss something, I take that opportunity, like flying home and seeing his first T-ball game. That's just me. That's who I am. I'm dad first, husband second, baseball player third. So that's what I'm just, that's just who I am. So if I put baseball to the side, that's just what's going to happen for me. But they're the reason I play. He has so much fun watching me. So this is what it's all about, to try and make your son proud.
Is Charlie excited to be a big brother, or is he not even paying attention?
Yeah, he's excited. And I keep asking him if he's going to help change some diapers. He says no every time. So there's some things that we got to help. I'm going to need some help from him. He's going to be 4, 4 and a half when they're born. So I'm going to need some help out of him.
Well, I'm sure he'll take the big brother role on pretty well. He may not understand why his time is such divided, you know.
I know. At first. That's going to be the hard one. That's going to be the hard one, because we're attached to each other's hip right now. So we're going to see how this goes in a couple months.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, put the babies down. Let's go hit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we couldn't be more excited for you. We're with you on wanting a World Series again. We need it. We're right ready for it. So we agree. And but congratulations. We know that this has got to be exciting for you, and great to talk with you tonight.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Ricky. I appreciate you guys.
Hey, Braves country. We just wanted to remind you to rate, review, and subscribe Behind the Braves presented by Billy Reid on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, braves.com/behindthebraves, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you, and we'll see you next time on Behind the Braves.